All right, good morning to you. Last week it was so funny. One of the young ladies from Team Effort that's here for the summer, she was with us, and she just watched that little video, and she's from Destin, Florida. I've never been to Destin, Florida, but she told me after church, she said, "You made me so homesick with that video." So I guess she was longing for the beach. Well, I don't know if you have a cup of coffee with you or not, but cheers if you do. I actually am drinking coffee from my favorite cup this morning. It's got a picture of a fish right here. And then down here it says, "Good things come to those who bait." There you go. So that's my cup. Hey, I brought this up here just to tell you that, Alex is quite a coffee connoisseur. And for the last couple of weeks, and then we're going to actually train some folks to do this, but we're actually roasting and grinding our own coffee here on Sunday mornings now. So if you haven't gone over and gotten a cup of coffee, if you like coffee, it's really good. He asked me this morning, he said, "John, how's the coffee taste?" I said, "You know, Alex, I'm not the one to ask. It doesn't have to be really good for me to like it, you know, but go over and try the coffee out and let Alex know." He actually roasted it himself. And then we ground it here this morning and made the coffee. So hopefully you'll get a cup to enjoy that during our middle hour. It's a good place to go and to hang out. Last week we had Dan's video running over there. This week we're just going to have some music playing and the tables will be open and you can enjoy your time over there with your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. All right, last week we started a, 7 or 8 week series, not quite sure yet. By the way, it's really neat. I actually put a post on the church page the other day and I said, "What's your favorite song?" I said, "I'm studying, preparing for this upcoming series and, you know, tell me what your favorite psalm is and why and maybe I'll use it." The response has been pretty tremendous and I appreciate all those that have put something on there, and who knows, maybe we will we'll use your favorite psalm here in this study on Sunday morning. I must tell you, though, that since I'm in charge of which ones I picked, it's probably pretty much my list. So, you know, it's not so much you telling me what your favorite one is, it's just whether or not your favorite one's on my list. Okay, so we'll see as the weeks unfold about that. Yeah. You know, I don't know about you, but one of the things about social media that really, it's funny because it's a two-sided coin. On the one hand, it's something that's really a great blessing, and it's interesting, it's encouraging. And then on the other hand, you see these posts, and they're the same kind of thing, but yet they irritate you a little bit, or they make you think things that you shouldn't. And really what it is that when people post pictures of them being on vacation, you know, number one, that's not fair because you're on vacation and we're back here, okay? Or you look at it and say, "Oh my goodness, I love that beach," or "I love that mountain spot," or "I love that place," or "that city." You have these different reactions to the same kind of post. On the one hand, you're like, "Oh wow, that is so cool. Look at what, you know, look at what Aunt Lois is able to do." And then it's like, "Oh my goodness, my coworker, why do they get to go on vacation at the beach and I'm still back here working?" You know, you have this back and forth situation like that. You know, the summer is kind of that time, and I just think it's so cool that you know, since we've had such a tough 15 months, that now, you know, people are able. I look at those posts and I'm thankful. I'm thankful that people, friends, family, you know, others, neighbors, that they're able to go and enjoy some time away. And I really hope that all of you that are here this morning get to experience that sometime this summer. But even more than that, I want you to experience these next couple of months looking at the Psalms. You know, when you think about Psalms, there's six different areas or kind of Psalms. Now maybe you've seen this list before. There are Psalms of praise. You know, there's all kinds of Psalms where David declares his love and his devotion and how marvelous and how wonderful God is. And I'm sure that you are aware of those. You can take a look at Psalm, 150, for example, Psalm 47, Psalm 96, the one that we're going to look at here today, is one of the most well-known psalms of praise. But there's also psalms of confession. Where David and others cry out to God because of their sin and how far their sin has taken them away from God. There's psalms of thanksgiving. Right away, Psalm 100 comes to mind. And there's lots of others. Thanksgiving and praise together. Thanksgiving because of what God has done and by what we say to Him. Thanks by giving great offerings and honoring Him in that way. There's Psalms of trust. Psalm 47 talking about that God is our, or Psalm 46, that God is our refuge. Psalm 23, that God is our shepherd. There's a lot of Psalms of trust. There's Psalms of complaint, where on the one hand, David says, God, I am being pursued by my adversaries, and my enemies are always at my door. And then there's Psalms of confidence, and most often the Psalms of complaint end with a confidence in God, saying that although this is what I'm experiencing in life, I know that I can trust in you. As you read the Psalms, and I encourage you to go through all of them, read every one of them, and ask yourself, after you read a Psalm, is this a Psalm of praise? Is this a Psalm of confession, thanksgiving, trust, complaint, or confidence? And then when you realize the kind of Psalm that it is, use that in your own life, in your own spirit, in your own prayer to God, and use that psalm to praise or confess or be thankful or trust or complain or whatever. But make sure that we understand what the psalmist is doing. Now, Psalm 96, as I said, is one of the greatest of the psalms of praise. And what I want to do this morning, I want to take just a couple of minutes here, and I want to read through this entire psalm. It's not very long, just 13 verses. But open your Bible, read along with me, or watch the screen here, and just listen to this beautiful psalm of praise. He says, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise His name. Proclaim His salvation day after day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nation are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and glory are in His sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in His faithfulness. Amen. Isn't that a beautiful psalm of praise? Matter of fact, when you read that list of the six things that make up the different kinds of psalms, when you read Psalm 96, it is apparent. You cannot miss the fact that this is a psalm of praise. And while we go through all of these different emotions in life, the one that is the most prevalent in the life of David, as he wrote so many of the psalms, was that he had a great desire to praise his God that is above. But you know what? As we study this psalm, Psalm 96, let's begin at the end. Because when you get to this 13th verse here in Psalm, it's really interesting how he ends it. Because he says, let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. For he comes. You know what, folks? That is the next great event in God's timeline for our existence and for his creation that we're waiting on. We're waiting on the coming of the Lord. You know, folks, I don't know how many times that you have you've anticipated something that you're waiting on. I remember my mother used to tell me when I would say, "Boy, I can't wait for whatever." Fill in the blank. She said, "John, don't ever wish your life away." You know, like some of us here this morning, you know, we can't wait. We look at all these vacation pictures of people on vacation this summer, and we've got something planned maybe later this month or next month, and we can't wait until that comes. And a lot of times, the anticipation of what we're waiting for robs us of the joy and the experience that we're having right now. Sometimes because of the thing that we're waiting on, that we're looking so forward to it, that it can steal some of the energy from our lives, you know, today. You know, I remember this happening so acutely when Arlene and I first started dating, and I was looking forward to that first kiss at the end of the evening. And I don't remember anything before that. Not really, but, you know, it hasn't been so long ago that I don't remember it, though. You know, he says here that we're to look forward to. He's going to come, for he comes. He comes to bring judgment. He comes to make things right. You know, David says over and over and over in the scriptures about when people were pursuing him, when his enemies were all around him. He knew that God was going to come. That he was going to bring to his enemies exactly what they deserved. But here's the thing, folks. Psalm 96 is a great psalm of praise because he says that even though that's the next great event, God has some things that he wants to make sure that we do right now. In other words, what do you do while you wait? What does God want us to do? What does he want our lives to be about? What does he want us to be doing, to be busy at until that day comes? Because you can sit and anticipate that day. You can be anxious about that day. You can long for that day. But then you can do so to the detriment of being busy doing the things that God wants you to do right now. You know, if you know this or not, every Wednesday we have a group of ladies that sew here every week. There's several of them. They meet here in the cafe, and they're always doing some kind of project. Any ladies here part of that? There's Roxanne. I was actually looking for you, Roxanne. You've been sitting three or four places this morning. I've seen you all over. There she is. She's a part of that group. And most of the time on Wednesday, I'll come over, and I'll just say hello. And this past Wednesday, I looked over and I saw, you know, several cars over here, and I knew that they were here sewing, so I came over. I came in the bottom there, and I came up the steps here and walked into the cafe. It's dark. And I thought, well, maybe they're playing basketball in the gymnasium. I think of that when I think about Roxanne, if she's not sewing. So I went down and I walked down to the gymnasium, and nobody was there. And I thought, well, maybe they're up here in the narthex doing something. So I came up here, lights are all off and gone. So I texted one of the ladies in the group, and I just said, you know, did the rapture happen and I miss it? And the text came back, just simply one word, yes. I don't know what your doctrinal opinion is about the rapture. I know a lot of people differ about how that can happen or may happen. But, you know, for just a split second, I thought, oh, my goodness, I missed it. You know, and I couldn't find Arlene, so I was pretty sure she had gone too. But they had actually gone out to a restaurant to get something to eat, so I was glad to know that. Think about this. What do you do while you wait? You know, I love how this verse starts out, the psalm starts out talking about singing. Sing to the Lord a new song. But you know what? I studied this passage, and it doesn't necessarily mean sing a new song, but it really means sing in a new way. It might be an old song, but it might be sung with a new heart. Or it might be a new song that somebody's singing, but they're not singing with a good heart. So therefore, it doesn't matter whether it's a new song or an old song. What matters is the heart with which you sing it. I love this quote that I found that said, "Those who wish to sing always find a song." Those who wish to sing, they always find a song. So what song are you singing this morning? In other words, you know, until he comes to judge, until he comes to make all things right, God wants our lives to be like a song that we're singing. The other day I was walking across the parking lot at Sam's Club and I happened to be whistling. I don't know if you know, I sometimes, especially when I'm by myself, I whistle a lot. And as I walked across the parking lot, I was whistling and I was actually just making up kind of a melody or a song or whatever. I wasn't singing any particular song. But one lady actually said to me as she walked by, she said, "Wow, you must be happy." And I said, "Well, I am happy. Are you happy?" And she said, "Not so much." Now, she was joking. She laughed as she said that. But I was kind of glad that she noticed that I had a song on my heart and in my mind. That's what we need to do while we wait. Do you ever know in the Bible when the very first time that God's people sang? You know, the Bible talks a lot about singing, about worshiping, about words. Of course, many of the Psalms are actually songs that were sung or spoken, poems. But do you ever know where the first time that it ever talks about the people of God singing? Actually, it comes from Exodus chapter 15 in verse number 1. Look at this. It says, "Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and river he has hurled into the sea." You see, they sang, the song really had two verses. The first verse was all about God's provision, about God's protection, about the escape that God gave to them. And the second verse was all about how God ultimately brought judgment upon their enemies. He hurled both horse and driver into the sea. In other words, God's people came through on dry land, and that same sea engulfed the enemies of God and of his people. And it caused them to sing a song. You see, so many times in our lives, the songs that we sing are just only about, you know, the victories or the joys that we've experienced in life. But in reality, our songs should be based on those two things: what God has done and will do for us, and how God will ultimately judge all of our enemies. So with that in mind, let me share with you four things that I think we need to do while we're waiting. This psalm of praise teaches us four things that we need to do while we're waiting. They're demonstrated in these four words, and they come straight out of this particular psalm. We need to be proclaiming. We need to be declaring. We need to be ascribing, and I'm going to explain that to you here in a minute. And we need to be worshiping. Let me ask you, by way of a question, are these four things, four goals that you have in life while you're waiting for that great day when Jesus comes again? Number one, we're to be proclaiming. Proclamation has to do with declaring to the entire world what God has done. It's what Peter did on the day of Pentecost. When he said, this Jesus that God sent and that he died on a cross, you put him there. We put him there. We need to be proclaiming to the world who Jesus was. Listen, folks, a lot of times today, people's goal is that they don't want to upset anybody. They don't want to insult anybody. They don't want to put anybody on the spot. They don't want to make anybody uncomfortable. But listen, folks, the proclamation of the gospel is all about the love of Christ, but it's also all about how we must accept his love, grace, mercy, and redemption. Now, declaring is very different. When you make a declaration, what you're doing is you're declaring what that proclamation has, how it has affected you, how it has made you different, what it has brought to your life. You know, have you ever gone out of the country and bought something and you come back into the country and you have to make a declaration. You have to write down everything that you've purchased. You know, write down everything that you've bought, and you show it to the immigration official, and you say, these are the things that I'm declaring that I'm bringing back in that are now part of my life, things that I've bought, things that I've been given, things that I have in my suitcase. I remember more than once when Arlene and I have been out of the country and we come back, and I remember one time in particular, this one agent asked me, you didn't buy anything really nice or expensive for her? No, not this time. I've got two mugs that I bring back, and that's just about it. You know, nowadays they've actually stopped doing that. You don't have to do that to the point that you used to. You used to have to write down everything that you purchased and what you paid for it and what the total was. You don't have to do that now. But listen, what he's saying here is that we need to be able to show the world, to tell the world, to show our families, to show our neighbors, to show our co-workers, we need to declare what God is to us, what he has done for us. You see, the proclamation is what God has done for the entire world. The declaration is what he's done for you. You know, it's easy to tell people what God has done for the world. Jesus died for their sins. A whole different ballgame when you're talking about what God has done for you, what God has done for me. And then you get to this word, you know, ascribe. He says in verse 3, declare his glory among the nations. Verse 2, proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations. Splendor and majesty, verse 6, are before him. Strength and glory are his sanctuary. And then in verse 7, he says, ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. You see, ascribe is one of those words that's a little bit more difficult for us to define. You see, what this means is that Our lives need to be about all of these things, about proclamation, about declaring what God has done for you, but it's also about ascribing. ascribing to the Lord. The word literally means to ascribe meaning and understanding to something. You know, in other words, you know, I need to tell you that life is good because we know God. That's ascribing our goodness to knowing who God is. You know what? We are forgiven because of the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, we're ascribing our forgiveness to the shedding of the blood of Jesus. You see, folks, he's saying here that until this day comes, when Jesus comes again, we need to be about this project of ascribing to him. You know, I had this conversation with my sister recently, and we were talking about our growing up years, and you know, and things and how they were when we were children. But then we were talking about how good things are now. You know, we've had our share of difficulties and continue to, but you know, we talk about how, you know, we know the Lord and how our kids know the Lord and how God's blessed us with grandchildren and how God's blessed us with a vocation that provides for us and our family. And you know, it always comes down, you say, you know what, we've been really, really blessed. And then you realize it's all because of the Lord. You know, I think about every good thing that is in my life, and I know that most of those things, if not all of those things, came to me because of the decision that I made to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, you just need to understand, you need to ascribe the goodness. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. You know, that greater is he that is in me than is he that is in the world. I mean, everything that we have is a blessing from God. That's what it means to ascribe. You see, because so often we ascribe things to something totally different. I mean, our own smarts and ingenuity. You know, our own hard work. I've worked hard for this. And I'm sure that you did. But as a believer, you have to understand what it means to be blessed by God. And even if you've achieved something by your own strength, where'd you get the strength? You know, we need to understand that we should not ascribe things to chance or to anything that we can do in and of ourselves, but that every good and perfect gift comes from above. Therefore, Psalm 96 begins and ends, therefore we worship. Therefore we worship. We proclaim, we declare, we ascribe, and we worship. And when we do these things, you know what will happen? That great and glorious day will come so quickly. Will come so quickly. But if we do not do these things, we will dread that day even when it finally comes. So until that day comes, may we be busy proclaiming, declaring, ascribing, worshiping our Father in heaven. Because while we wait, he wants us to sing a song, a new song. But here's the thing, folks. He says in verse number 1, and I end with this, that we sing to two people. We sing to the Lord, and we sing to all the earth. Because you know what I found? That when you're singing a song, that song cannot be ignored because it'll be heard by the masses. And if your song is about the goodness of God and what he's done for you, It'll be a song that might just get in their heart and in their spirit and become a song that they sing as well. My daughter Sarah, she and I have a song. It's funny, I don't know how it started. I think it just started by her being in the car one time, and a song came on the radio station, country radio station, and the song was the Grundy County Auction. Now, I would sing it to you, but it's just her and I's song. But every time it comes on, if we ever hear it, and it still comes on occasionally, we'll call each other. My phone will start ringing, and I look down at Sarah, and I answer it, and she says, won't you give me a sign to be my beck and call? And she goes on, and she's just singing this song to me, and then I'll jump in, and I'll sing it with her. And you know what? When you hang up, you just cannot deny the connection because of the song. Folks, we give you lots of opportunities to sing here, and I hope you do sing. Hope you do sing. Not necessarily just a new song, but with a new heart. And know that you're singing to God, and it's one of the great things that He wants us to do until that day comes. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I just ask this morning that you would certainly be with us, Father, as we sing. God, I pray that this wonderful psalm of praise will just be on our minds, our hearts today. And that, Father, it'll change us. That, Lord, like the Israelites of old, that when you provided protection and escape for them and judgment, Lord, upon their pursuers, that they started to sing a song. And it's a song, Lord, that has continued down through the ages, even until today. So, Father, may we sing that same song. And, Lord, may it be a song about declaring. Lord, may it be a song about ascribing, Lord, to you the praise that you so richly deserve. Lord, may it be a song that gets in our minds and on our hearts, and that, Lord, it never goes away. Father, may it be a song about declaring, Lord, what you are and what you've done for us, that we proclaim to the world and we declare, Lord, what your Spirit has done for us. And we ascribe, Lord, to you what you so richly deserve. And, Lord, then we worship. And so, Father, may we be about doing this until that day. And, Lord, we say, as John said in Revelation, Lord, come quickly. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. And, Lord, if it's today, we're ready. But, Lord, if it's not today, we're going to keep doing these things until that day comes for us or until our days are finished on this earth. Lord, may it be so in Jesus' holy name. Amen.